Do it properly.
Hello.
And welcome to the 15th episode of
Season to Taste.
It's only taken us 15 times to do that just right. Welcome to the podcast. If you're a new listener, amazing. For everyone else who is a returning listener, you know what the setup is. You know what we're doing. You don't need to explain it again. In the last episode, we chose the David Tennant specials. Or rather, the randomizer chose the David Tennant specials. And we picked Planet of the Dead, and the moment that we stopped recording, we looked at each other and went, God, why did we pick Planet of the Dead? Couldn't we have picked one of the other ones? So it's taken us a little while to get around to watching it, but now that we've had a chance to think again, it's certainly the first time I've seen it since it aired. So Matthew, what did you think of Doctor Who and the Space Flies?
It's alright, I suppose.
Yeah, it was fine, wasn't it? I mean, it was... I think the problem is, more than anything else, it was one of the specials, and it isn't very special.
I think it amuses me when he offers her the Easter egg. Lady Christina is offered by the Doctor an Easter egg on the bus at the start, because it's such a token nod to it being an Easter special, in inverted commas, when there's nothing else remotely Easterish about it.
We always have Easter flies.
That's true. Yes, of course, the Easter stingrays, obviously.
The Easter bus. I'd love to get the Easter bus.
The Easter anti-gravity bus hunt.
Yeah, the and the Easter comedy Welshman. Yeah. All famous features of Easter.
I think it's one of those episodes that suffers because it's a special, and if it had just been the first episode that was introducing a new companion, and they decided to give the Doctor some kind of cat burglar aristocrat companion, and that was an introductory episode.
Straight out of the unmade season 27.
Yeah, and then that we were going to get another 12 weeks where other stuff happened, then I think that would probably be a perfectly acceptable first episode. But the fact that you've waited months for it, and you're going to have to wait months then for the next thing, means that it was slightly underwhelming at the time. And it hasn't really improved with age.
I think that's true, and I think it is its problem. If that was episode 6 of a season, it would be fine. You'd feel like it was a bit of padding, but it doesn't feel special for a special in the way that, you know, all those Christmas specials before have their massive classic moments, their kind of set pieces. And yes, it has a flying bus, and that's kind of cool, but it doesn't really feel like... Even at the end when, you know, you've got a firefight between the Stingrays and UNIT, that feels like that's your climactic showdown. And I don't have any emotional engagement. I kind of feel that the Doctor trapped with other strangers in a craft without his companion, or without a companion, was kind of done in Midnight better.
And Voyage of the Damned.
Well, I wouldn't say that was necessarily better.
We were certainly done.
Yeah, and you know, Carmen being randomly telepathic, that's kind of been done with Tim in Human Nature.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's doing anything particularly original. It's just, you know, it's going to a nice location. Actually, the planet location looks really good.
That does look absolutely awesome, to be fair. At the time, I thought, oh, well, they could have filmed it in a sandpit, because I was presumably being pissy. However, when I was rewatching it again, one thing that actually I did think, no, that is really good, is those kind of big shots where you can see the dunes stretching into the distance. And it's clearly in the baking sun. And I did think at that point, yeah, it does add, it does make this episode look distinctive, and it makes it look richer for being filmed in Dubai or wherever it was. I think that's probably the only thing that I noticed about the episode that I actually liked more than maybe when I first saw it.
I liked, it was funnier than I remembered. There's some, even though I find Lady Christina rather irritating, there's some funny banter between her and the Doctor, and genuinely just some funny moments thrown in. The Doctor pulling out his sonic screwdriver and changing his brainy specs into sunglasses is quite fun. There's a lovely comedy moment with Captain Magumbo saluting, and the Doctor asking down the phone, "Are you saluting?" And her going, "No." There's the bit where comic relief Malcolm, who I'm not a massive fan of, but you know, he's fine, actually. He does the job. Lee Evans is... You see it's Lee Evans and your heart sinks, but actually, he knows what he's doing, and he pulled it off. He talks about having read all the files, and the Doctor refers to the giant robot,
yes.
Which, along with the other reference to an old story, I assume is a reference to an old story when they're talking about how they can power the bus, and Christina says, can you power the bus a bus with a crystal? Well, that's what they do in Delta and the Bannermen, isn't it?
Well, though, in this one they end up not powering it with a crystal. Yeah, Lee Evans' performance, I'm glad you touched on that. The only thing I'll say is it's a very broad performance, isn't it?
In many ways, too broad and too deep for the screen. While we're talking about characters, I don't really... Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Christina. That theft at the beginning, either the very Mission Impossible bit that shows how clever she is, it's a very stupid theft, isn't it? She has decided to come flying into the ceiling where there are armed guards who... You know, maybe she's done careful surveillance and notices they do this every night, but it doesn't rather rely on none of them facing the thing they're supposed to be guarding or even glancing around.
Mm.
And I have to say, it's a little cup. It might be quite good, but I can't imagine it has four armed guards in it. That's the kind of scene where you know, it's being held there temporarily for an exhibition, but the line later says that's just in the museum it's always been in and is always in. They wouldn't have four armed guards on a stupid little gold cup, particularly not one surrounded by this advanced laser technology.
Yeah.
Right under a hole in the roof. Well done, the people responsible for security at that museum. And then, so she does her silly theft, she charges off, she gets chased down by that really annoying man who plays annoying men in Hustle and everything. Ashes to Ashes?
Probably.
He's called Adam James, and he plays exactly that role, a kind of annoying, shouty man.
He's cornered the market, in it.
He has, yeah. And then... she gets on the bus, which is taking the bizarrest route. And London's geography is quite confused in this story. You know, one minute they're in the Blackwall Tunnel, one minute they're in central London. That bus is going to Victoria. What's it even doing near a tunnel? And then she gets on the bus, and then she and the Doctor have an extremely ADR'd conversation.
The thing about Christina is I think I can kind of see on the one hand what they're doing there, because they're having someone who they're almost... When I say they, I mean obviously the Doctor Who production team is setting... They're giving us a character who is almost meant to be the perfect companion for the 10th Doctor. She goes into the kind of tiresome flirting that he occasionally does. And I don't particularly like that aspect, but they do bounce well off each other. They do have quite a relationship of equals. And then because it's a special and because they don't have to do 12 episodes, they can then have that ending where he turns around and says... No, you're not going to come with me. I almost think it's a shame, though, that he doesn't turn around and say, no, you're not going to come with me,
because
actually
thief.
You're a thief.
Yeah.
And
saying you steal things for fun, it doesn't mean you're not depriving people of stuff that belongs to them.
You're not a brave shop girl like Rose, or a brave person like Martha, a doctor who's helping people, and you're not someone like Donna who is actually investigating a mystery and trying to solve it. You're a very selfish woman who's in it for yourself.
Yeah.
And even at the end you're saying, oh, I'm only in it for my own adventures. And I almost think it's a shame that they don't have the Doctor turn around and say, actually, you're not the perfect companion for me. You're not a person that I want to travel with, because you're only really interested in yourself.
Yeah, and while he might have stolen the TARDIS, stealing is wrong, innit? No, I entirely agree. And she does have nice moments. I like it when she kind of takes charge on the bus, and it's all quite fun. But yeah, I wanted exactly the same thing. I wanted him to say, no, the reason you're not going to travel with me is you're not very nice.
Yeah. In a sense, the special is the kind of place where you can do that story, because, as I say, you don't have to then follow up and introduce another companion.
No. Yeah, there's not really much to the plot, is it? I mean, at the end of the day, it's basically an hour about bus maintenance. There's quite a bit early on where you're just like, how long are you just going to be faffing around with an engine? Because, you know, it's educational, but I'm not sure it's an adventure. You're right, there are flies, and I do think we should note that there are two fly creatures, and obviously it would be quite inconvenient if the Doctor saved them. That would really mess up that ending. They'd have to deal with them on Earth and all sorts. So it's a good thing they both just got killed off for plot reasons.
Well, they're consciously disposable monsters, aren't they? You get the feeling that they're called tritivores because they are the tritest creatures ever to appear in the new series.
They're not actually allowed to have their own dialogue.
No, they don't have their own dialogue, and they're killed off in a cursory fashion when they've outlived their usefulness. And I seem to recall at the time that the episodes were being produced, Russell T. Davis was making all kinds of claims that they're going to be the most terrifying monsters. They're going to be up there with the Daleks and the Cybermen and haunt generations of children. and you absolutely know who is doing it, full of the self-consciousness that they're utterly rubbish. It's just taking the mick.
Oh, Julie, you'll never guess what I've been telling them about the flies.
Which I think is wonderful. I mean, for me, there were lots of examples in the episode as well of the kind of slightly irritating pseudoscience that occasionally crept into some of the David Tennant episodes. So there's a lot of references to things like, oh, I need some kind of malleable metal to form a bond between the bus and the anti-gravity fly magic things.
I kind of like it's using the cup that's been taken. That's nice.
It's done in a kind of very clumsy way. It's literally hammered home, isn't it? So there are a few moments like that where I just think, oh, it's slightly weak, and we could have done with something a bit more convincing.
It's not brimming with ideas, is it? No, I'm just thinking about a few episodes ago. We were talking about Warrior's Gate.
Yeah,
and yeah, we're talking about the different ideas and concepts, and there are no ideas or concepts in Planet of the Dead to talk about, are there? It's just it's an extremely straightforward story. There's barely, the closest thing to a subplot is Malcolm, who's, you know, basically the new Sergeant Osgood, and it is extremely linear. They get on a bus, they go to an alien world, they try and fix it, they come back again. Yeah. And
it is. I still come back to the point, though, that I think that's only really a problem because it's a special and you've been waiting so long for it and you'd expect a bit more.
I think if you
look at Partners in Crime or you look at Smith and Jones, they're all very linear, straightforward stories. I think that's true, but it just fits into that style.
I think we'd find a lot more to talk about in Smith and Jones. I can feel even now we're basically getting to the end of things to say about Planet of the Dead and we've only just started talking about it. There is so little to comment on in it, really.
Well, I haven't commented on why a ship full of giant flies have tiny human-shaped earpieces for communication. That struck me as a rather strange design choice, and another example of a bit of skewed science in the story.
Yes, I'm not sure that's the kind of deep concept I was thinking of when I was saying.
It's the thing that's stuck with me.
Oh, absolutely. But you know what I mean? We are basically out of things to say already.
Well, no, because the other thing we haven't mentioned, it's obviously the first Gareth Roberts episode that we've watched as part of this marathon, and
it's possibly
going to be the only one. It's interesting that an element of his very first ever Doctor Who story creeps in, doesn't it? It's not an underground train, but it's the bus that gets transported to the desert alien planet. In the highest science,
oh, is it?
An underground train gets transported to a desert alien planet. It's odd, and gets attacked by the Chelonians.
See, it's odd you say that, because actually the thing that was reminding me of is the... Is it in that Mark of Mandragora comic book? Is Sarah Jane get an underground train that is sucked through time somewhere?
Oh, possibly. I've never read the Mark of Mandragora.
I think it's a plot that's been done a few times in different places. X public transport gets plucked and sent off.
But obviously
the flying bus or
Very Irish Wild Time. But I think in the highest science as well, the Chelonians are deliberately meant to be a parody of bad Doctor Who monsters. They're giant tortoises in this one. You don't have the Chelonians, but you've got the giant flies, which are equally a parody of crap monsters.
Or indeed, we actually, as we mentioned a few episodes ago as well, there is actually a giant fly in Planet of Giants.
There is. But I kind of wonder, given that it's credited to both Russell T. Davies and Gareth Roberts, how much the writing was split between them, or whether, you know, Gareth Roberts had come up with the basic concept in 1992 or 3 when he did The Highest Science. And that had kind of been the prompt for Russell to write the story. So I wonder if the higher science was a bit of a kind of spare parts type inspiration.
That giant robot line sounds very, very Gareth to me.
It does. And I think, you know, as you say, the episodes are very funny, which you would expect from Gareth Roberts.
To be fair, I didn't say very funny. I said I liked that it had some good humour in it. That's as far as I'm going to go.
It's a fun, it isn't, lightweight.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not
episode.
It didn't, you know, annoy me. It wasn't. I didn't think it was a bad story. It's just, yeah. It's just it's quite fillery, isn't it? And
And
as we've said several times, as a special, it's not massively special. It's just some stuff happens and it's fine. It's nice to have Doctor Who, and it's, yeah, the characters are perfectly watchable. Yeah. But at the end of it, you don't feel Apart from, actually, the one thing we haven't mentioned is the very end and the convenient telepath lady's premonitions about what's going to come next. Actually, all of a sudden, you go, ooh, here is actual interesting stuff. It is returning through the dark. He will knock four times. Is properly, you know, spine-tingling moment in an otherwise fairly flat story. And particularly knowing, obviously, what it also refers to. But even without it, you know, the whole mood of the episode tells you these are foreboding predictions.
Yeah, well, the music suddenly turns at that point from being some kind of Disney-fied Christmas special to suddenly going quite dark, and it goes back to the music in Midnight. So a lot of the people on forums, etc. at the time thought that that was a clue, and that Midnight would in some sense have some connection to something returning through the dark.
Oh, right.
Because in Midnight, the music that plays over that scene was written for Midnight.
Right.
In Midnight, the Doctor knocks and something knocks back four times. Obviously, there's something in the dark.
Which, of course, what's actually happened is Murray's gone, oh, I've already written some music that does that, I'll just use that.
Exactly. But it's interesting how these things kind of start to take a life of their own.
Mm.
But yeah, you're right, that suddenly changes the mood of the episode a bit. The other thing about specials is Star Trek Insurrection, if that had been a episode of Star Trek The Next Generation,
it would be one of the better ones.
It would have been a fine episode, yeah, it would have been quite a fun action-y episode. But it's not a big enough story to make into a big film. And I kind of feel like that about Planet of the Dead.
Right, I felt like that Star Trek, the most recent.
Yeah.
Into Darkness, I was like, do you know what? You're making one of these every few years. Don't waste it on doing what you've done.
Yeah, absolutely that. So I think from a special, you expect something maybe more like The Waters of Mars that's a bit more portentous, or you expect something
like Voyage of the Damned that's equally lightweight but has a giant spaceship flying into Buckingham Palace.
You know, it's not quite huge enough to justify the name special. Mm. Solid episode, but by no means a great one. What else could we say about it? I suppose it's the first HD Doctor Who story.
Well, I'm not sure it's the first hastily devised Doctor Who story.
Ooh.
Yes, it is actually, and we watched it on Blu-ray, and I think that's the first time I've seen it in HD as well. And, you know, as we said, it's good they went to a nice foreign landscape so that we could see it looking all glorious and shiny on Blu-ray. I tend not to notice the difference all that much. It looked fine, it was nice.
Yeah, overall, 2.5 TARDISes.
Yeah, I think at most 2.5 TARDISes. I was reading that in the Diderot poll of, this was the 200th Doctor Who story, in the Diderot poll of the 200 stories, it came 99th, and extremely middling is, I think, the right verdict on it.
Yeah.
Cool, right, well let's switch on the randomiser and see which season we'll taste next. Okay, the randomiser's all fired up, so here we go. And almost like a galactic yo-yo, we are flying back in the other direction, way, way back, to season 3. Well, that was dismissive.
No, I was just thinking, what a shame that the episodes haven't been returned yet, because otherwise we'd have something to watch, wouldn't we?
Yeah, stroke at all, stroke ever. So, season 3, the third Hartnell season, brings us Galaxy 4. In fact, you tell me how many episodes of each exist as we go through, because I can't keep track.
One and a half, Galaxy 4.
Mission to the Unknown.
None.
The Mythmakers.
None on DVD.
None, I think we'll see. The Daleks' Master Plan.
3.
The Massacre.
None.
The Ark.
4.
The Celestial Toymaker.
One.
We're watching that. The Gunfighters.
4.
Oh, The Savages.
None.
And the War Machines.
4.
Actually, I think this is going to be one of the more straightforward ones.
It's going to be the Gunfighters, isn't it? Sorry.
That's not what I was going to say at all. What I was going to say was, we'll watch one of the ones that actually the whole thing exists of.
Yeah.
Because it's just easier. Which narrows it down to 3.
Yeah.
One of those I really like.
The Gunfighters.
One of those I have no real strong feelings about.
Yeah.
The War Machines.
Yeah.
And one of them
is racist.
What, the Ark?
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say was, one of them I haven't seen. So, before you get too excited about watching The Gunfighters, I haven't seen the Ark.
Oh, good. Well, you'll be spared yet another John Wiles racist story, then. That'll be nice.
Do I want to know why it's racist?
Because the Monoids are treated as though they're black Africans who need to be managed by white Europeans, and they're stupid, and when they get the chance to be in charge, they have a security kitchen.
Well, I think that'll give us a lot to talk about, won't it? Now, look, we were reticent about the Space Museum, and then we really enjoyed it. I've never seen the Monoids. I think it's about time I did. On the other hand, the Gunfighters is really fun. Oh, it's difficult. I do really want to watch I love the Gunfighters. At least I thought I did. I haven't seen it for ages. But I haven't seen the Ark. Listener, Matthew is taking the Ark DVD off the shelf and just reading the back of it to remind himself of his feelings. This is something we've not seen before, and actually it's an interesting habit that some of the fans do. They like to pick up the DVD case and kind of gently stroke it as they think about it. I don't want to get too close. I don't want to frighten him or make him run. Oh no, he's noticed me.
Despite the Ark's reputation massively suffering since everyone's kind of seen quite a disturbing subtext to it.
I wish you'd given me the chance to work that out myself.
Well, you asked me to justify.
That's true. No, I did do that. Yeah.
Yeah, we can watch the Ark. I'd rather watch the Gunfighters because it's more enjoyable. But if you want to watch the Ark, we'll watch the Ark.
I tell you what, we should watch the Ark at some point. But screw it, we just had to sit through Planet of the Dead. Let's watch the Gunfighters.
Yay!
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to carry on not having seen the Ark for a little while longer. We do have to sort that out at some point in this anniversary year. Maybe once we finish Seasons of Taste, we can look forward to going back and doing the Ark.
We'll do racist stories of Doctor Who.
I think that's actually one of the new box sets to entertain. They've got their fingers crossed for that episode of the Celestial Toymaker coming back.
Oh, God.
But in the meantime, let's get our blood, get our sawdust, and get our Gunfighters on.
Woo! There'll be blood upon the sawdust at the last chance saloon.
Or, of course, my favourite variation.
When the next season to taste is coming soon.
If you don't behave, we're going to watch the Ark. I don't care if we've just said we're going to watch Gunfighters. You can stop the. Are you going to behave?
Yes.
Right then, we're going to watch the Gunfighters, and I'm laughing because of the bit that I'm going to have to cut, and you'll never know what it was. It's odd that it happens in quite a lot of episodes where we just go too far. Tune in next time to Seasons of Taste.
Bye.
No, remember, I say bye first. It always has to be the same, exactly the same in every episode. Bye!
Bye.
I love you, Philip Morris.